Saturday, August 15th, 1970. This interview is with Mr. Russell Greenzweig, spelled G-R-E-E-N-Z-W-E-I-G, at his home at Walnut Court, Pennsylvania. What I'd be interested in, Mr. Greenzweig, is when you started in on the canal, how long you were there. When did you start, as a boy?
I started when I was 7 years old in 1909.
That's
the one that you saw in that picture.
Yeah.
That's where I got on the canal.
Mm-hmm.
And, of course...
Who was your father?
My father was
the captain.
And we voted until we were 11 summers. I got very little schooling. Because we boat, so we see that our eyes and couldn't go.
Yeah.
A very little student.
Where did you put your boat up in the winter? Here?
Right here at the Anchor Hotel. That's what they call the Hotel the Anchor. That's where the boatmen used to tie up for a night.
Anchor. And then they tied up there in the wintertime.
Yeah, then in the wintertime you had your boat. That's if you had your own boat. But if you had a company boat, that's the one with the bull eye, that you took back the life for it. Then they'd repair it during the winter, whatever had to be repaired.
Did you have a company boat?
We had company boats and we had individual boats. We had one that we got from Hazard Bensel. We had a well, we had three from Hazard Bensel. We had the old stone boat, an overpay cap down in Newland Town, a hay boat. We had that one. And the C.S. Clausen was the first boat we had. And then we got a boat from the Greta Canal that was 18 inches lower than the other boat. So we could load more coal in because we didn't have that rail on top of it, see? And she could down at the hinges that she, the water would almost drop over the hinges, you know what I mean?
Yeah.
But you could haul more coal.
That is, you piled it up.
We just filled the boat up and that's all right, see? But see, we didn't have that weight on top to hold that boat down so we could haul more coal. By the first time we went to Greta Glossa that you have to start to fill it, PRTC had, through the tracking company, we had 102 tons, 1,400 pounds on it, and these boats could just haul 80, 90 tons, see?
Mm-hmm.
And we got down to Hagen Central, Hagen came out in the pitch, and he gave my old man help. Well, overloading this boat. And we took that over there, and in 29 minutes, they unloaded that.
Were there
two clamshells coming down from a high wall? And boy, we just unloaded. But then we had company boats before that, you know what I mean?
How long would it take you when you started from Coalport? Is that where you loaded the Coalport?
Yeah, Coalport is where we loaded. Why, seven and a half days to go down and come back. That's when you unloaded in Gloucester, in Philadelphia.
Oh, 7.5 days?
7.5 days
to Philly, yeah?
Yeah. But then you didn't get a load. Now, I want to tell you, when we got to these locks, we had a good team. When we got to the locks, when we got to what they call the nigger in there, the big round boat, they flat off and you would unhook the line. Then you'd run down along the lock, run your line underneath the lock bridge, and pull the other rest of the line through the lock so it wouldn't get in the rigging. Then you'd pull two rigging, and that'd help the lock kind of bring the gate up, see?
Mm-hmm.
And as soon as the gate was up, you'd pull all of the other rigging.
On the lower gate.
Then you'd take, I'm ahead of my story. These mules, when I unhooked the line, they'd flag off the hook. I didn't even talk to them. They'd flag off, I'd hook the line, and I'd run it through, and they'd go down below the lock and stop and wait for me to bring the line. You know what I mean? They're trained.
Yeah.
And then, to make time, I'd go to work. Let's see, I'd go to Wiggins in the beginning, so they lift the gate easier. That was hard to lift.
Yeah.
I hooked up to the mules and gave them the work to go, and I over one day, see? That saved the last kind of work and gave us time, see? So if you're fooling around, why you didn't do nothing.
How long would it take from the time you entered the lock to got out?
Why, not long. Maybe 3-4 minutes. because we helped. See?
Yeah.
If you didn't help the rock then, he'd have moved one great thing to the other side, open that one, and that was the flow, which was great. And
when you left Colesport, where would you stop the first night?
Well, just according. Now, the last summer, we boated one trip to the Orwell. That's about New Hope, you know, that one. That blue center bridge.
Oh, yeah.
The Orwell, you see.
You get there the first night?
Oh, no. We just took a couple of days to get there, right? But this last year we boated. We boated one trip to there. Then, of course, the rest of the summer we boated to Benny Wilson, Catasauqua. Now, we used to make time. Now, when we get down to Benny's, that was in the afternoon, they'd go to work and they'd start unloading. They'd unload that night. The next morning, we'd be up at the lock after the furnace used to be just at it. At 4 o'clock, the lock panel went through. We'd go up the coast port and get loaded and come down the parallel to 9 o'clock that night. Now, for instance, one night, Bill Crocker passed it when we were unloaded and he tied up above the lock. The next day, we went up and got loaded and we met Bill Crocker below Iceport. He had a time we made and a time he didn't make our time. See?
Well, now, supposing you loaded at Colesport for Philadelphia, now you're going straight through.
Yeah.
Where do you stop the first night?
Yeah, well, that was just according to what time of the day you loaded, you know what I mean?
Well, suppose you started in the morning.
Well, if you got loaded in the morning, I guess it'd be starting at 8 o'clock. Well, we'd come down to Olaport.
Down where?
Down here at Olaport. You used to get at Olaport here.
Oh, Olaport.
You used to get here.
Yeah.
And the next day, well, we'd go down maybe Freemansburg, or maybe sometimes to Easton.
Second night, Easton.
But see, it took longer to go down than it did to come up, because your mules could step it off there.
Oh, yeah. Well, now, from Easton, where would be the next stop?
Well, from Easton, then we'd go down maybe the lower end of 6 Mile River or somewhere like that.
That's
6 Mile River, that's on it.
At New Hope?
No.
6 Mile, let's see.
No. Right down to the hotel.
The Nair.
Yeah, well, the
Nair
is that.
Oh, that's
the beginning of 6 Mile level, the Nair. There was an Nair.
Oh, yeah.
That's the India. I have a different name for the hotel now. It used to be the Nair Hotel.
Yeah.
Then, of course, we'd get down to maybe the lower end of that level, that was a 6 Mile level. See, then the next one to Eula Town, that was about a 3 Mile level. So, and the original level, I don't remember, I think it was about 4 miles, go through a river. We'd have to get down to, 17.
Down Lock 17, Treasure Island? Treasure Island Lock?
No. Oh, have to say.
Point Pleasant?
Oh, yeah, Point Pleasant. Yeah.
The two locks there together, close together.
Yeah.
Well,
I see they put a new
accent
up in there.
That's
Point Pleasant.
Well, that's been in quite a while.
Yeah, I know. Well, that's the other thing, right? The other time I was down here,
yeah.
They put a seal on it. But see, these accents don't say speak like they used
to. No. Where they're replacing them now, they're making them the full size. Where they're rebuilding them, yeah.
That's all.
Yeah.
See, they used to be about, I'd say, 5.5, 6 foot, because we used to load 5 foot four.
Mm-hmm.
See, when we'd load our boats, they had a gauge. They'd go down and reach under the bottom.
Yeah.
Measure up.
Yeah, I've seen one of those gauges.
Then they put that chalk mark there. And that's how deep they load them.
Yeah. Well, now, you leave Point Pleasant. Where would be the next place you'd stop?
Yeah, well, I don't know. Then we had that shore level, and then we had the next was the 7 Mile level.
Below New Hope.
Above New Hope.
Yeah.
The 7 Mile level, that's where they have the boat on.
Oh, yeah.
And right below the stone quarry, that house used to be the cake and beer house at the hotel.
That's what I understand.
See, that water trough still down below there. They have picnic tables and stuff where the water trough used to be.
I don't know whether the water trough's there or not. You see, that's as far up as they can go because the bridge that used to be there was washed out. and they filled the canal in and put a culvert.
Oh.
So that's as far up as...
Then we have water short for something, and that water came from the other side of the canal somewhere. So that used to be good water.
Mm-hmm. That's about a mile north of Center Bridge, isn't it?
Yeah, something like that.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, something like that.
Well, then you went down to New Hope, through the four locks there.
Yeah.
Then you had the 11-mile level.
That's 11-mile. No, the 9-mile level.
Oh, the 9-mile level first, yeah.
Yeah, the 9-mile.
Yeah.
And from down where the bridge washed away, I think you near that place where you did Morrison. Yes, the 11-mile level spot.
Yeah.
And that went down to
Yardley.
At Yardley is the lock. And then...
Then Morrisville.
Yeah, Morrisville. We were lower than Morrisville once. On this mm-hmm. side, there used to be a nursery in there.
Mm-hmm.
Before you got to Morrisville.
Well, now when you get down to Bristol, you had three locks
yeah.
to get through.
Yeah.
Before you got to three locks, there were a couple of bump bridges.
There were bump bridges. And what was the guy's name that had that big building there? He was in politics then.
Grundy.
Grundy, yeah. One bump bridge was on each side of Grundy's place.
I see.
So those, they are away now.
Yeah. Well, then, now when you got to lock number, just before lock number one, there was a sharp curve to the left.
Yeah, well, that was underneath the bridge here. Was that a railroad bridge or
yeah.
what?
Yeah.
And there was a theater right on the side there.
Well, now, some boatmen said that they unhooked their mules there and snubbed the boat around the bend.
Yeah, well, we didn't.
You were telling me the other night, huh?
Yeah,
you
didn't.
How did you do? You shortened your tow line?
Yeah, short tow line, and we pulled it through, and we also pulled it into the base. But just, in other words, we just pulled it out of the lock.
Yeah, into the base.
Yeah, and then now...
Well, now, as you made this turn, you had to be going fairly fast so the rudder would take
yeah.
hold.
Yeah.
Did you, then you immediately went into the lock.
You adjusted your line that you could pull it around.
Yeah.
You adjusted your line, you could pull it around.
Mm-hmm.
You put your line on your bow, on the center of your bow, please, and you pull it around. Now, up at knee-high gap here was the same way, but you didn't have to pull it around.
Mm-hmm.
Over knee-high gap, there was a curve, but it was a bigger curve. And
well, then you went immediately into lock one, right?
Yeah, well, I don't remember the lock numbers.
Well, that was the first one above the basin.
Yeah, yeah. Well, that was Morrison. Jim Morrison had that lock when we boated. And we lived right above that lock one winter. And I went to two rivers.
Oh.
We lived on the boat.
Well, now when you get down in the basin, did you hook the mules on the boat to continue down
no.
to the tide lock?
No.
What'd you do, pull it?
Just pull it by if the water had at least any current, she flowed down. But see, we only went over the Gloucester eight times. And when you had a company boat, you didn't go to Gloucester. You put the company boat in the basin and threw your rigging on an empty boat and pulled out.
Come back, yeah.
Yeah.
Well, now, when you went through lock one there and got in the basin, then somebody picked your mules up to take to the stables?
Yeah, well, you could take them back yourself.
Oh, you did?
See, because you didn't leave until the next morning, 4 o'clock. 4 o'clock, the tide would go out.
Yeah.
And you take them up to put the ship over to the Morrison or Morrison, whatever it is. There they had a big long barn. And there you put your mules in and let Pete there for them and he take care of your mules.
Mm-hmm. Well, now you get down in the basin. And you want to go to Philadelphia. How did you get out into the river?
Well, I just pulled it out by hand through that lock. It was just a lock there.
Yeah.
There's a lock there.
And generally, that lock was open, wasn't it? Because the water was the same on each side?
Yeah, but when the tide was high.
Yeah.
When the tide was low.
You had a lock through.
Yeah.
Well, then you got your boats out in the river and all tied up together for a tow, huh?
They tied them six right and seven length. They tied them together.
Uh-huh.
And then the William Cramp was the name of the tow. And you should take your over to Gloucester.
What was the name?
William Cramp.
William Cramp. Do you remember the captain's name?
No, I don't. But William Cramp was the name of the tow.
Yeah.
Then he'd go over, and that same day they were loaded, and the next night they'd bring you back, see? And of course, one night they used to have just bumps, you might say, there to handle these boats there, because they didn't want to pay much. They'd get drunk and everything.
You mean at Bristol?
No, Yeah, they go along with the boat to take them over to Gloucester, the handler.
Oh.
And of course, this one night, they left this boat and the lines ripped and we separated. And there used to be a penitentiary between Bristol and Phillips on there. And that's where our boat came over, almost to the dock. And my father threw a line to catch a pole to tie up, but he could have missed it. So the boat kept on floating, and then later on the tug came around and hung them all together and tied them together again and brought them in.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. And
you always went down on the tide and back on the tide.
Yeah. When you went out with the tide, you came back with the tide. Yeah, that's the way they did it.
Mm-hmm.
For seven and a half days, that's what it used to be. Just according to what time you made, you know what I mean?
Mm-hmm.
Now, some guys, not just like I see a Bill Crosser, he passed him when he was leaving and got back to the White Fort against the Romero.
Yeah. Did any of the boats use their mules to pull down through the basins of the tide locks?
Not that I know of.
Was there a towpath on the west side?
Yeah, there was a place. There was a towpath.
That is, you had to cross the bridge at the one lock.
Yeah, the bridge at the lock.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
But generally, you pulled them by hand or pulled them
down.
Yeah,
but you pull them into the basin, then you take the mules away, see?
Yeah. Well, now when you came back, did you do the same thing? Did you pull...
We came back, we took our mules right down and pulled it right as it came in from the river.
Oh, you
pulled
took
right
the mules...
from there.
You took your mules down to the tide lock. And hooked on there.
Yeah. And it took a right down, hooked on there.
Mm-hmm.
And I used to like this. I couldn't even spring came, you know. And I used to enjoy this. And I'd go out and I'd walk, only make 35, 40 miles a day. That's about the average of what we made.
Yeah.
But then you didn't get alone. So if you had to keep going.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Did you ever cross at New Hope by the cable ferry to the Delaware and Raritan?
Yeah, we slept in the middle of the Delaware one night.
Got stuck?
Water was too low.
No.
Yeah, we'd go over and go in the lock and go north. And there were two pump bridges there. Red comes over from New Hope, and above there was another pump bridge.
And that's on the Delaware and Raritan feeder.
It's on the Raritan feeder, yeah. So that feeder, there was some kind of rubber plant there. We could pull them up to where this feeder was. But from there on, the mules couldn't pull it. And they took on the shifter engine. And the shifter engine would pull you up on the railroad. So you could only pull it up to this feeder at the rubber plant. And that wasn't far from the lock.
Mm.
But then it shift engine on the railroad and hook on, and we'd go above the second bridge, and there we'd unload.
Oh, you unloaded coal there.
Yeah, unloaded.
At
I don't remember what the name of it was, but it was going up there in Peter. But the bridges weren't far apart.
Mm-hmm.
The bridge going over from New Hope, I think, was the first one. And then there was one above, and we went above that bridge, that's where they unloaded it.
So you didn't you didn't take your mules across the bridge?
Yeah.
Oh.
Yeah. Across the bridge from New Hope.
How long would it take you from the time you started the mules at New Hope to get up and cross the bridge and back down?
Yeah, well, I never timed myself.
Half an hour or something like that?
Yeah, something like that. It wasn't too far, you know what I mean?
Well, now when you were ready to go through the outlet lock at New Hope, supposing the men were on the other side, how did you signal to them that you wanted to...
Well, we didn't at all. He'd go out the one lock. Max used to have a store at the lock. He'd go out the one lock, come out the other in the Delaware, and hook onto the cable, the cable and a pulley for each end, and you had to keep your bow end up a little bit so you wouldn't push it.
Well, supposing those pulleys were over on the other side.
Well, you never had that experience.
Oh, there were enough sets of them, were there?
There was only one boatman over there that I know when we went over there last time. That was Billy Dreyer from Whiteport. He was up. He went up right above the first feeder. That's the only one that I know that went over that way at that time. But how they bring the cable back, I couldn't tell you. Now maybe they just had a rope boat or something, hook them on and school by himself. But one day he tried to get across and he got hanged in the middle of it and stopped. So they brought a scow in from the river here. They brought a scow in and unloaded some of the coal on this scow until it floated. And of course they took it across. And they also took these scows up here and unloaded them up there. They didn't put it back in the boat.
Yeah.
Because it wasn't too far from the lock going up. But we never went down the river.
Oh, you never went down?
We never went down. We just went up. We covered that twice.
Mm-hmm.
It lost it. Was only over there each time. But so this regular canal, but like this on the, I told you, like before, the kind of stop with it. They unloaded, and the next day we leave Kerry and go up and get loaded from down the parlor at 9 o'clock. And the next day we go from there to Kerry and they unloaded at 9 again. We really pushed it, you know what I mean?
Yeah.
We pushed it.
Yeah.
Yeah, we pushed it.
Yeah.
And of course.
Start that over again.
Well, I took another 7 years ago. The old man took me along with him. We had two old mining mules. The one had the real thick legs, these called milk legs, remember? Two old mining mules. You couldn't push them around, you know what I mean? You just walk with them, that's all. Because they had no pets anymore, you know. They were played off. And of course, gradually we got better mules all the time. We got better mules and this. In the end, sir, we really had a good team.
Mm-hmm.
She just dragged your feet a little bit more. They go right into it, you know. And we stuck with them. We were some left them go along, you know, because there were two of us, her husband and me, that's a handle, see. And we pulled it all over. We even unloaded down at Brownsburg. That's where the boat was causing us.
Yeah.
Brownsburg.
Yeah.
We even pulled it down to there. But, you know, we had to do it about every place.
Did you ever carry pig iron or?
No, just coal.
Just coal all the time.
But that time we were down at Brownsburg, the coal tank had a landfill there. He got the coal, you know, and he wanted to sell us a whole boatload of oil, now 2,000 feet. My old father didn't believe it.
So you never brought watermelons back?
No, we never brought them back.
A lot of the boatmen did, though, didn't they?
Oh, yes, some did. And our owner, Peck, he used to pull hay, see? I guess he stayed for years. He used to live right at the Unicorn Lock, right on the other side of the lock. That's where he used to live.
Yeah.
W.H. Over.
Yeah.
And his name was on the boat that we got at the day. But then my father changed it to James. That was my brother. He died almost 5 weeks ago, see? He was born on the canal.
Oh, your brother?
My brother was born on this place over down here. He was born in East on the canal.
When you got new mules, where did you get them? From the company?
No, we'd buy them here and there. He saw a good buyer and he needed a new one. He'd just buy them wherever he could.
Oh, I see.
Wherever he could, right? He'd just buy a new one.
But the company also sold them, didn't they?
The company sold them. That time the company got $450 for a pair of mules.
For a pair?
Yeah.
And then they'd let you pay on time?
Yeah. And see, whenever you get to the rail lock empty, they would pay you for that trip. They paid you so much a ton.
How much did they pay at that time?
Well,
you remember?
The last time.
But it depended where you went with it.
You got so much a ton for each place. But when we went to Gloucester, if you had your own boat, you got $64 a ton. $64 a ton.
Yeah.
But for different places, they paid you here. Now, if you just take a load of the white port, you only got a little bit because you knew it in a day. But if you took a load of the walnut port, you'd have to get loaded and bring them down. See, here, go up, bring them down here. The next day, you unload them. But then, you didn't have time to make another trip because got too late, they'll lose my hands, you know.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. Then,
now, every time you brought down a load of coal from coal port, you had to stop at the waylock?
Yeah, you go into the waylock, there were two locks. A double one that were empty and a single one. And a single lock with the length of two poles. They put you in the first length, then they draw water out, with the water out, then you sit on a scale. Then they let water in, and you pull it ahead. Then they take water out again, and you pull out.
Yeah.
a great African name. Mm-hmm. And I have a friend, her brother-in-law, has pictures from the old bridge went across the Lehigh at the bottom of the Mansion House Hill.
Oh, yeah.
He has pictures of those.
Mm-hmm.
But, and what's his name? It's just clear. I'm fired or what, I don't know. The old school teacher was on there.
Oh, you mean at the museum?
Yeah.
Oh, Rinker.
Rinker.
Yeah.
Rinker sent this guy works in Bethel Steel, and Rinker sent this guy one of his cards to somebody else that works in the steel.
Mm-hmm.
So I told him about taking him down, but he never said anything about it. He lives in the hiding.
Oh, really?
But he used to boat, he didn't boat coal on the canal. After everything, 27, I guess, he said, he boated stone from down there at the, Stone Quarry. He pulled a stone from there, and he went down in the river, and then the Tucks used to take him to different rivers to use stones.
Oh, I see.
Even Philadelphia.
Mm-hmm.
I guess maybe you don't know that.
What was his name?
Stone.
Huh?
Stone.
How do you spell it?
S-O-L-T.
Oh, Salt. S-O-L-T.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
But he was, that time he didn't vote him anymore. He took 26 or 27. Now he had these pictures, so he took them to the paper outfit in the highway, and got pictures put in the paper from it.
Oh yeah.
So he took the pictures out of the paper, and he had those at home. I was reading that he'd go along, I'd take them down. You know what I mean?
Right. Well, we'd like to get the pictures sometime.
Yeah. Well, these pictures were cut out of a newspaper, but he had the original pictures, too.
Tell me now, how did you live on a single day, for instance, from the time you started in the morning? What did you do? You go get the mules first?
Our mules got fed 5 times a day.
Hmm.
They got fed, so you leave at 4 o'clock, they got fed at 5, at 10, 3, and at 8. And when you put them away, you give them hay.
Mm-hmm.
So you fed them 5 times beside the hay.
You didn't feed them while you were putting the harness on in the morning?
No,
you waited
until
they got on.
In the morning, we used it for about an hour before we feed them.
Mm-hmm.
And then, of course, but now, we used to get up at 3:30. And lock tenders worked from 4 to 10, so that's the only time we could boat. But the last time we boated, we unloaded at the oil works, that's that loose end of bridge. On a Friday at 11 o'clock, we were unloaded. So I said to the old man, I said, John, I said, tell you what I'll do. If you steal, I'll drive me, go right through, go home. Saturday. Friday at 11 o'clock, and Saturday at 6 o'clock, we were home.
Right here?
Yeah.
Uh-huh.
And I drove, and then my brother, I drove all night, and my brother, when he got up in the morning, Saturday, from 7 o'clock or something like that, and he went out and left me rest. Then I tried to sleep, and I couldn't sleep. And coming up that bad wall there below the stop tree below east, you know what I mean, the high wall is.
Mm-hmm.
Coming up there, I had my arm around the strap on the saddle of mules, walking the season, I don't know what.
Walking asleep, huh?
Yeah, it was a while, here you go.
Well, now after you got the mules hooked up, then when did you have breakfast?
Well, when my brother get up then he'd eat, then I'd go in and eat, and he'd generally eat. Like jelly or molasses bread or something like that, and cook a dinner, you know.
For breakfast, what did you have? Coffee?
Yeah, we had coffee and the drink, you know.
Yeah.
And once in a while we made cocoa, you know, and something like that, you know.
Did you have eggs and...
Yeah, we had...